God moved by the power of his spirit for 40 days in a special outpouring. And so today, as we are asking Ron to come and share with us, we want to, before they go back to Georgia, we want to ask that God would somehow take some of that, multiply it, amen, and bring it amongst us. Because there's something in the mix that God is doing that we want. And so I stir you this morning. Lift your faith to say, God, I want it for me, for my life. If you've done it there, do it in my life here. If you've done it before, God, do it again here. Let's put our hands together and let's welcome Ron. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much. I think we received a whole lot more. it's been really good to be, you know, this be with you. Number one, each one of you have been special that we've gotten to kind of know as we prayed for and then as we've shared. It's just been a real delight to be here. But actually, England's my inheritance. You know, my great-great-great-grandfather came over from Yorkshire, so I'm an Englishman. I may not sound like one, but... and so it's been wonderful to be over here, and I've learned how to drive left-handed. It's increased my wife's prayer life. It's caused a few arguments. I'm not too close, you know. But anyway, it's been wonderful to be here. And I wish that I could stay. You have an exciting church. There's a lot, you know, and I think church should be an exciting place. You know, I think that... wherever the Lord is, it is good, you know. And we should be seeing people who are excited about what it's going to do in the next encounter, you know. I've been pastoring for about 25 years, and just to tell you the truth, I am really sick of church. I'm sick of church meetings where you come in and you leave the same way that you came in. Amen. but I like encounters. In fact, I love encounters. You know, we have that one song that we sing, Oh God, how I love your grace and your mercy. But oh, how good is your presence, you know. Indeed, it's a presence that we desire. And you have the ingredients in worship and hunger and thirst and vision, relationships, which are so important in the body of Christ, that God can work out of unity. And so we just want to thank you. You really have blessed us, and it's just really great to be here, and to be here with Craig and Jenny, which I think I'm going to have some opportunities perhaps to travel with him a little bit more as I look towards some other things, but it's just been great. So I'm a little bit under the weather, just to tell you the truth. I don't ever claim or confess that I'm sick, but I've got a little bit of a fever, I think, a little bit of a cold start. So, but anyway, I've danced around, and I feel better. So, but if you would, just pray for me. Judith, we've been married for, we'll be 48 years, July the 17th, and we have, hey, only about 40 of them been glorious, so most of the other part, you know, it's my fault, but anyway, it's been wonderful, and she really is a she really doesn't feel too well this morning, and she really felt like she just wanted to tell you that she loves you all, and she's thankful for having the opportunity to come. We've been just so blessed with the Suster family as they've taken us around and fed us, and really being embraced by you all is just wonderful. I feel like I've gotten to know quite a few of you, and it's just I'm excited about what's going to be happening here. Amen. That indeed we'll know this is the Camden outpouring. So it's good to be here. And I do want to encourage you that show up. Indeed, as Nick has shared, as a pastor, there is something really special here. One of the things is you have eight churches, right, that have come. Eight churches unifying for a common goal is very unusual. And there's been a number of prophetic words that have been given for myself and for other persons that I know is that when the churches of the area will come around into revival, then indeed God is going to release it. He's going to release something very powerful, and I believe that's happening right now in this place. We're seeing the fact that you're having so many stay around so late and just to worship the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to do something a little bit different tonight. At Morningstar in Charlotte, North Carolina, with Rick Jordan. Yeah, thank you, Holly. And then when you go with another place in Columbia, South Carolina, with Danny Shane. Anyway, what happens? The people come down front. The very first, they are so hungry to worship the Lord that they're down here in the front worshiping the Lord. They're getting in the river down front early. They don't wait till late. And I don't know. So at our church, we've begun to do that, and we have a few people that come forward. I'll tell you, there's something about getting real close to the anointing and what God is doing. So I just want to encourage you to perhaps to think about doing that tonight as a church and just see what happens, because there's something about that front part. It's become sacred ground. We've taken off our shoes. People have poured out their hearts. They've come before the Lord. It's sacred to the Lord, you know. And so just perhaps to encourage you to do that. I've got my brother Bob here, who's going to help me just a little bit. No, I'm not going to smack him around. No. No. But as I've come, I'm not going to share in the same way as that Craig has, not in terms of salvation message, perhaps not in terms of asking people to be baptized in the Spirit if they haven't received that. Or it's more something that I walk in revelation of God's desire for a healing revival. My vision is to see the place of God so exciting that people are lined up. They're standing in line to get to church. Every church. And that, I think the Lord kind of deposited that thing deep down in me when I went to Toronto for the first time. And we lined up out there at that little old building on the airport. It was about, probably about 6 months after it got started. And I saw people standing in line to get into church. And I think that's what God desires, you know. He desires us to stand and be excited about what he's going to do. And so my vision is indeed that there will be areas and pockets where there is great spiritual encounters going on. I love the supernatural. And I love people just being overwhelmed by the Father. And so Dr. Bill Hammond has a book out called The Day of the Saints. He's from Florida. He's a man who's kind of raised up the prophetic in the church. And his premise is in these days that God has raised up the fivefold ministry again in terms of the apostolic has come in, the prophetic, and we've always known about the teacher and the evangelist and the pastor. But these days he's raised up the apostolic and the prophetic in the order that they would equip the saints to do the work. And there's been a number of prophetic words that have come that, you know, men have had visions of a stadium, soccer stadiums being filled. And they say, who's going to speak? We don't know. It's the no-name revival, you know. And we're seeing that beginning to happen. Little people, children, adults, who are, you know, are out there praying for people, and people are getting healed. And the people are coming to the Lord. Many are, you know, in the Wells Revival, children would go back, what, to the schoolroom, and they'd testify to their teacher. They'd come to know Jesus. That's what I'm expecting, you know, because the Word says that the knowledge, not theoretical, but the experiential knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. And we haven't seen that yet, but we're beginning to get a glimpse of it. And so I want to just share with you. One thing would be perhaps to open up your mind to what the Word really says about Jesus and his ministry. To what the Word really says, how Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. How Jesus, as my understanding, was dependent upon the Holy Spirit to work in the signs and wonders that he worked in. I think the word testifies of that. I don't know about you, but I always thought he was just special. And he was anointed, he was a son of God, and everything that happened in his life came because he was the son of God. But the word has just opened up, as I understand it, and I think hopefully you will, that indeed, when Jesus said that all who believe in me will do the same things that I've done, that he meant it, because he knew that we would have the Holy Spirit, and he promised that he would send us the power of the Holy Spirit. So if Bob would read the John 14:12, please. Well, John 14:10-12, yeah.
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
Amen. And it says in the New King James that he says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Remember the story of the prodigal son, in which when he came home, the father restored the ring as a sign that, yes, you can have the father's authority to speak in my name to declare the word of God. Then in the Amplified, it says, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works. And then in parentheses, it has his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. So it was his works that he was doing through Jesus. If you would, let's read Isaiah.
Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor.
Amen. Of course, we know that comes from Jesus also said those words when he was in the synagogue and he opened the Torah to that particular scripture, and he read that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he, the Father, has anointed me for ministry. In the contemporary English, it says this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord has taken control of me, and the Lord has chosen and sent me to tell the oppressed the good news. And I don't know about you, when I, just even riding through your city, you see so much oppression. You see unhappy, sorrowful looks, depressed, oppressed. And then we have the scare of the bombs in London, just recently, But hey, we'd have nothing to fear. If we die, we get to live with Jesus, right? And nothing wrong with that. But anyway, we have been anointed to share the good news to the oppressed and bring the captives free. And I love people when they get set free. I love deliverance. I love to minister to people and see them get set free, things that have besieged them all of their life, whether it be lust or addiction or problems that they're having. I love it, because when you come back and you see them, their eyes are just lit up and they're free. I love to be free, and I love to see people get set free. Amen? And there's a lot of good ministries that are going on, and I just encourage you to join in with it. But indeed, understand, whenever I hear that scripture from Isaiah spoken or read, I just say, the anointing. He has anointed me. Amen. In fact, let's pray. Would you reach out and just touch, grab the hand of your neighbor, if it's comfortable. Let's just pray for one another. Oh, Father, indeed, that the eyes of their heart would be open to your word, Lord Jesus, that they would understand the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit is upon them for your glory. That things that they would do, Lord Jesus, in honor and in your name would bring glory to your name and you would be lifted up. And indeed, I long for the day that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. I long for throngs of people to gather around and say, my gosh, God is here. And they'll just follow where that anointing is because, and then they'll bring the sick and they'll lay them out and they'll see them get healed. Lord, we just pray indeed that we would understand that your anointing is upon, and Father, today, open eyes, open hearts, open mind. We just ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, a lot of times we are so constricted by what we have been taught in America. You know, teaching about the Holy Spirit is primary because most of the time they have no understanding because they've been told that the Holy Spirit no longer operates the way that He did in the Pentecost and in the New Testament. You know, that dispensationalism has come along. In other words, God no longer operates that way, and so we have to teach, help people to understand. But many times their minds are closed. I had this illustration. It's been raining a lot since we've been here. summertime, yeah. But it's been lovely. We've enjoyed being here. But, you know, one day there were these various size vessels or bottles that were sitting outside in the patio. Or your garden, I think is what you call them. But, and the rain came down. You know, about 2 inches worth of rain fell. And, but when you go out there and you look at a Coke bottle, it'll only have maybe that much. And if you take one of your, what do you call your little pint jars, or if you take a jar maybe that's a pint that has more of an open mouth on it, well, then it'll be filled up 2 inches, you know. If you take a large bowl, then it's going to be filled up with about 3 inches, you know. And so, as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon people, one of the things is we have to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church, what the Word of the Lord is to the church at that time, and that we be expanded to understand that indeed it is the day of the saints. Can you say that? Today is the day of the saints. When I am equipped to go about the earth in the honor of the Lord and bringing glory to His name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. The next scripture is the one that really started out for me, Acts 10:38.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
Jesus went around doing good. Why? Because. You know, I don't know about you, but when I read that scripture, I had never seen the word because. Now, there's other translations that say that for God was with him, like in the King James. But the thing is that he went about doing these miracles. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame will walk. All the things that Jesus, because, why? He listened to the Father. He stayed in communication with him. He understood what was being spoken into. And he went about doing what the Father was already revealing to him. So we don't have the power to heal. Amen? But the Lord does anoint and he does allow different gifts to flow in the body of Christ. I believe it's our right to pray for anyone. I think every believer has the right and entitlement to pray for the sick, because that's what the scriptures. And I'm sure Craig will probably teach on that perhaps as the revival goes on, as we turn to beginning to deposit and leave, and indeed as the people would be encouraged to go out. Now, Randy Clark says this about praying for the sick. He says the greatest deterrent to praying for the sick is the last one that you prayed for that didn't get healed. Craig has said that too. But the reality is that we do have failure when we pray for the sick. We're not moving. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more people getting healed when I pray for them than they did 10 years ago. We're seeing more and more every day because we expect it. And we begin to understand the Word and we get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you that indeed, if you prayed for people and it hasn't happened yet, Do it again. Do it again. And you will see it happen. Why? Because it's our right and our entitlement because of the anointing that God has deposited within you. Amen? So then we have Colossians 1. No, Acts 2. I'm sorry. You follow.
It's Acts 2:22-24. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you and through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
And so we see there again that these miracles that attested that Jesus Christ was God's Son was done among you through the Father, and that he had actually raised him from the dead. Jesus was dead in the grave, and the Holy Spirit came through the power of the Father to raise him from the dead. Okay, the next one.
Okay. This is Acts 4:23-27. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed.
And again, we have that the understanding the Father had anointed Jesus. In the Amplified, it says, in verse 27, it says, whom you consecrated in anointing, who you set apart with your anointing to walk with signs and wonders. Then in Colossians 2, I'm not going to read it this time, Robert. It has that we have that Christ was raised from the dead in Colossians 2:11-12. Then if you want to jot it down, Colossians 1:19, God says that for his pleasure, he had the fullness of himself to dwell within Jesus. And then Ephesians 1:19.
Okay. Ephesians 1:18-20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms.
And there we have a reference that indeed this great power is resident within us. That power that raised Jesus from the dead is active in our life to bring life and newness, but also that we would be those who would carry that anointing to bring release and freedom to those who are oppressed. So again, the Lord is just emphasizing that we are carriers. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then, in Matthew, we have this account of Jesus being baptized. I believe that Craig referred to it the other night, but in terms of that, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and rested upon Jesus. Now, according to the scriptures, Jesus did no miracles before the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. Now, I know there's some text out there and there's some other little stories out there about some things that Christ has done, and of course the secular world and scientists and such, they like to bring those things up about Christ, but those are not documented. So anyway, Jesus did nothing until he received the power of the Holy Spirit as it was deposited upon him and as he was resting upon him. Then in Hebrews 13, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Craig has shared about that in his miracle. That's one thing that God revealed to him. I am the same. Well, God's the same too. and the Holy Spirit is the same. And the manner in which the Holy Spirit worked upon the earth is the same also. As we'll see, in fact, in 1 Kings 17:10, and you can just jot it down if you want to, but we're told that Elijah was told to go to the widow, and that she had, she was dying, you know, asked for some bread, and she says, well, this is all I got. And he says, well, if you give me your bread, if you sow into what God is doing, if you sow into the anointing that's standing before you, if you sow into the kingdom, then I'm going to multiply back to you. And indeed, we see that there was a multiplication of the bread. Amen. And then a little bit later on in 1 Kings, Elijah, this son, dies on him. And so it says that there was no breath left within him. And so Elijah takes the son and carries him up to this upper room that had been set apart for him, and life comes back in. He is resurrected from the dead. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit multiplied food. It also resurrected the dead. Then if you come along to to 2 Kings in the 4th chapter, you have a woman and you have Elisha now, where the double anointing. He wants more. I don't know. I'm kind of like Elisha. I want double. I want more. Why? Because I want to see the glory of the Lord. But so we have Elisha in 2 Kings 4, and this woman's husband had died, and she was going to starve. She only had this little jar of oil. And Elisha says, the Lord says, bring as many vessels as you can, and he will fill them. And indeed, she just gathered up vessels and all different sizes, and as they were given to the prophet, why, they began to fill up with oil. It says that she sold the oil, and she was able to live. Then he was sent to a widow, and she was a barren. We prayed for a couple persons here during the revival, someone who's trying to get pregnant, and so we're believing that indeed that we're going to see fruit a year from now. Craig has had that happen. I know he's come back to town, and people have said, you remember you prayed for my daughter? Well, here's the baby, you know. So anyway, Elisha prays, and sure enough, the woman, the couple has a baby, and everything's going great. Then one day, the kid apparently has some kind of a stroke or something happened up in his head. He falls down dead. And so Elisha, and this woman had a faith to believe, my son's not going to die. I'm going to go to the prophet. I'm going to go to where the anointing is. And so she lays the young man out, says, take him to the room. This couple had set aside a place for him, for the prophet to come. They'd honor the prophet. They get the prophet's reward. Amen. So she runs after him. Anyway, Elijah comes back, lays his staff upon him, comes back to life. So again, we see multiplication, and we see the anointing to raise the dead. The Holy Spirit does the same. Then we have the story. We have Jesus several times. Multiplication of bread. Baskets of things left over. We have people who are being resurrected from the dead. Lazarus, the young child at Nain. Then we have Jesus, it says, anoints, imparts into the lives of the 12, and they're sent out. What are they commanded to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demons. They come back. Uh-oh. Hey, I did. Hey. How many of you got excited the first time you saw somebody get healed when you laid hands on them? All right. Okay. Have we seen anybody raised from the dead in this place yet? Huh? I know some people are praying for the dead because they already told me that they're in a place that they can do that, and I don't know. They're expecting that one day they're going to see the dead raised. I agree with that because it's happening all over the world today. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the same as it was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus sends out the 70s, and they come back with great joy. But Jesus refers them. You know, the greatest miracle is that you got to be born again. The greatest miracle is that our name, you know, the oh happy day that we got. That's a wonderful song. Love that song. Great miracle when people are born again and they come to their senses. Lord. Now, Jesus said, truly. Now, in that John 14:12, in a number of translations, it's set off a little bit different. One translation, it says, truly, truly. Another translation, it says, verily, verily. One translation says, I tell you the truth. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. And in the words truly, truly, and verily, verily are only used about three or four times in that particular context in which Jesus speaks. And they're very important. One is about being born again. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The point I'm trying to make is that particular verse is set off by words of emphasis. Bold print, italicized, in the red, green, pink, blue, whatever it is. But when you read verily, verily, truly, truly, in that particular verse, you need to understand God is trying to get you to understand. He's trying to release within to your life of understanding that this is something to stand on. This is something that I am speaking for you, that you might move into that. Indeed, if you believe in me, he said all, didn't say those who were faithful particularly, but he said all who believe in me, more than just believe that Jesus is alive, but you are a believing believer. There's a difference between believing and being a believing believer, because a believing believer is one who activates the word. He walks in what he believes in. And that's what we're seeing happen. People are beginning to walk in their understanding that God desires to heal people, to reveal himself, that they'll know that he's real. I don't know about you, but I sat in church for decades and never felt the anointing or the presence of God. But it's something to be cherished, to experience his presence. And that sense of that kabod coming down. Holy hush. A holy moment. All. You know, God is omnipresent. We know that. But there are times and places that he has his manifest presence. And the first night that I walked in, that Friday night, the presence of God was there. And indeed, like Craig said and others, we stepped up to a level and it's just continued to experience the presence of the Lord. But the other thing that Jesus says, he says, you will even do greater works. Now, you know, theologians say that, most theologians say that these doing the same works, and when they talk about the greater works, they talk about, well, you know, you got cell groups now, and, you know, Billy Graham has preached to thousands of people, and Reinhard Bonnke, you know, it's all these natural things. But you get down, he says, and they will do greater things. You know, the apostles did greater things, right? In Acts 5:15, it says that they brought out the sick and they laid them down on the street so that the shadow of Peter, when he walked past them, they got healed. Now, it's not recorded in the scripture that Jesus ever did that, is it? But, you know, there's a little track out that one of the women in our church put together, and it says, make my shadow dangerous. Oh, yeah. You know, do it again. You know, say, do it again, Holy Spirit. We sang that, right? Well, what are you talking about? Is it personal? Or are we talking about, Lord, in your word, do it again? Well, in fact, Lord, do it beyond your word. God's greater than the Bible. All, you know, many of the acts that are happening in the church today did not happen in the Bible, but it's biblical. Amen? So God is great. But do it again, Lord. Yes. Make people's shadows dangerous to the Holy Spirit, right? And then we have in Acts 19, Craig referred to it, but it says that now God did marvelous miracles with the handkerchiefs and pieces of clothing that were taken off the body of Paul, and it was sent out. Great and wondrous. And that's one of the phenomena that really happened at the outpouring in Allendale. Just, there were hundreds of persons who got healed from the handkerchiefs that were anointed, saturated with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we send those things out, and it's happening all over the world today. These handkerchiefs that are saturated with the God's presence and saturated with faith imparted into them, that indeed when they touch people's bodies, they get healed and they get well. Marvelous and wonderful things. Greater things. Greater things. Oh, Lord, what's next? Indeed, He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, you know, we see the pattern in the Scriptures to be the same for us. At least it's the way it happened in my life. And that is that when I ask Jesus into my life, when I confess that He was, that by His blood that I was saved, you know, cleansed, when I believe that indeed He was Lord, when I confess with my mouth that Jesus was Lord and I believed in my heart that He was raised from the dead, I received Christ. I was born again that night in that little old Baptist church. But then Jesus did the same with His disciples. If you remember, after His death and resurrection, He was with them for 10 days, great marvelous things. It says in John that the world cannot hold all the books that would testify of the things that Jesus did in those 10 days between His resurrection and the ascension. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? That as many books as we have, but the world cannot contain testimonies of what Jesus has done in those days. And then He comes with them and meets with them, and then He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that's when the disciples got saved. I believe that they were saved because they confessed. They said, Jesus, You're Lord. And they knew He'd been raised from the dead because they had walked with Him and talked with Him. And then Jesus tells them, now wait until you receive power from on high. I will send the power of the Holy Spirit among you. And then they went out from that place. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Holy Spirit has operated in the same anointing every generation, every revival known to man. There's a great book out. There's a young man, his name is John Crowder. And it's the book is called The New Mystics. And what he does, he takes the 2,000 years of Christianity, excuse me, and he just unveils how they were just radical believers in Jesus. And indeed, there are some really powerful miracles of things happening in the world at that time. And so it's our generation. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit to a greater degree, and we are seeing many people come to the Lord. We're seeing many people get healed, and there's just testimonies all the time coming in throughout the internet. There was some testimonies that came in from Iraq. You know, when I was when Judith and I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, while we took our oldest son Lance with us to visit with Derek Prince. And, you know, one of the things that would happen with Derek Prince is that arms and legs would grow out, you know. And so he had this one guy who had a leg about that much shorter than the other, and he sat him down in a chair and lifted up the two legs. Craig does that. I mean, the Holy Spirit operates through Craig's ministry and my ministry that legs get lengthened and arms and things. But anyway, so he lines everybody up so everybody can see him and grabs a hold of those hands, and this one leg just pops out. And my son got up on his... He said, did I really see that? You know, well, it was longer than the other one. So Derek then prays for it, and the other one grows out, you know. But there was this report that came across, and I've heard of a couple of others, of people who had amputated arms. And they would lay hands upon that amputated arm, and they just would see that thing grow out. Arm, fingers, hand. You know, creating stomach, is there anything different? I mean, if a person is dead, their brain is gone, the blood's gone. I mean, if they're rotting away, whether they've been dead 1 hour or 3 days or whatever, they're dead. I mean, your body's deteriorating. Is it any more impossible for just a little old arm just to come on out, or a leg, whatever? But there are multiple cases that have been documented that people have been healed like that. And I believe that's for our day. Not just for that place or that. I believe here. Great and wonderful things that God wants to do through us. Why? Because it's His desire. You know, there was a man by the name of William Branham, and I gave Paul and Nick a set of books about his life history. I'm just so amazed by it. But this man would operate with tremendous healing. And the reason I mention him is because there was a prophetic word that he had for us today. But nonetheless, as a young man, he began to see miracles. He actually, there'd be some kind of a manifestation on his arm that he could tell when somebody was had a particular kind of illness. And when those bumps would disappear, he would know that they were healed. He would, the Lord would give him visions as he would be, in prayer and praying. And then the Lord would just bring this picture. There'd be this little girl laying on a bed, and there was a grandmother and three or four people in the room, and this girl was just distorted. Her body was just really mangled, And so anyway, he walks into the room and in his vision, and she gets healed. So he a few days later, somebody comes along and knocks on his door and says, "We got a girl. Would you come pray for us?" So he went with him. So he went down there to the house, and he gets there, and yeah, there's this little girl, exactly the same picture. The parlor was the same way. Everything. So he walks in there. And he begins to pray for her, and she starts to die on him. She starts choking, like that woman did in Brazil with me, started to die. And, well, this ain't right. So then he realized, he says, uh-oh, one person's not in the room. So he turns around, goes back out, sits down in the parlor, and he just waits. And I don't know how long it was, but whether it was an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, whatever it might be. But pretty soon, this little old woman walks into the room. It's right. So they go back into the room. Sure enough, prays for the girl. Up she pops and completely healed. Testimony after testimony of tremendous healings in his life. And back in the 40s and 50s in the United States, there were just tremendous healings. A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, William Branham, Oral Roberts. I don't care what you think about some of these men, but they were anointed of God. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. They had no power to heal. But because of their obedience to pray for the sick as the Lord laid upon heart, tremendous miracles. They had tent meetings that when Jack Coe would come into town, the hospitals would bring the sick. Oh, I long to see that again. Don't you, Craig? Huh? I long to see when revival comes to Camden Town, and people say, "Let's bring the sick and they will get healed." Why not? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He desires to heal the sick. And so anyway, they would actually load up all the equipment that these hospital things, canes and crutches and walkers and polio things. They would load them up in the back of the truck and haul them off. Don't you long for that day? Long for the day that actually equipment would be hauled off. Actually, William Branham was the first guy to do a tent meeting. And then later on, as other men had faith, it's kind of like the guy that ran the mile, Oh, no, a human cannot run a 4-minute mile. But when it happened, other people said, "Hey, you know what?" And as they began to receive the teaching and the understanding of God's will to heal, and he would move through, indeed, these men and women would begin to set up their tents. And when they would come to town, Amy Simple McPherson, people like that, and they would see tremendous, tremendous miracles by the very presence of God. Catherine Kuhlman. You can watch her on video now. Have you ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman before, anyone? Okay. Tremendous anointing. Loved the Holy Spirit. Her life was a little bit messed up sometimes. William Branham's life was messed up. A number of these people that moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and healing ministry, some of their lives got messed up. Satan desires to tear down. He desires to attack people, to tear down. So the people will have disbelief. But just because they, at the end, something happened, you can't deny that God's Holy Spirit was working, because they did not contain the power to heal. God desires to release that to a greater degree on the earth today. Now, in 1966, William Branham, it was coming to a close for his life, but he had this prophecy. He said, that they were going, that the Lord was going to lift his anointing on healing because those who were operating in their gifts had been to take the glory for themselves. And it had got to be a real competition thing. Who had the largest tent? You know. And they, you know, they'd measure it and they'd expand their tent, you know, so I got the largest tent. So I mean, they began to argue about these things and, you know, rather than about the glory to the Lord. And so the Lord just dried it all up. At the same time that Branham received this prophetic word that God was going to lift his anointing on healing was the night that, if you remember, Oral Roberts was praying and he gave this testimony. There was a night, you know, Oral would sit on a stool because he would get so tired and, anyway, sitting on a stool one night, and the Lord says, this is the last time you will ever pray for people in this manner. Oh, man, I don't know if I could hear that word or not. No, Lord. No. It's kind of like Peter. No, Lord. But he said in 40 years, it would return. And in the year 2006, at the anniversary of that prophetic word, out in Washington, where Branham had a temple, there was a gathering there to call down that mantle, to embrace that mantle, indeed that we would see more healing released upon the earth. And, you know, Craig is one of those persons that God, at a time and place, placed a healing anointing upon in order to be able to speak about it and be a fire starter and see great things happen. So I just share those stories with you because we're seeing that happen. As Kelly is going to be going out to Redding, California, to Bill Johnson's church to study about the supernatural. There are supernatural schools all over the world, all over the earth. Now, why is that? What's happening? Is there something new upon the face of the earth, perhaps that we don't understand? And in order to get it out, he has to establish places where it is conducive to receiving and experiencing what he wants to teach about. I think so. Today, right now, God is doing something new upon the earth to equip the saints to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it be the prophetic realm, whether it be the healing realm, the word of knowledge realm. You know, Randy Clark, I've been with him to Brazil a few times. I'm going to close. But Randy has developed the gift of... Have you ever been to one of Randy Clark's meetings? Anybody? He was the pastor that was in Toronto when the Holy Spirit fell. And actually, he was just hungry for God. Much in the way that many of you are here, just hungry for God. He knew that there was more. And there came that day, just like it did for Craig, when Craig got healed, a day that Randy was with Rodney Howard Brown. Rodney Howard Brown laid hands upon him and set him off into a miracle-working ministry. But anyway, Randy works with the Word of Knowledge. So his team, people within his church will be praying, Lord, give us a Word of Knowledge for the kind of healing that you want to do, whether it's a picture or impression, vision. And he operates off that. So when we go to foreign countries, they'll have a number of words of knowledge that'll come out, this person, that person, and then they'll have them stand up. And then sure enough, the Holy Spirit comes along and begins to bring healing to them. So we just long for that day, indeed, that he will reestablish upon the earth his anointing, that his people will go out with power, and we'll see many come to the Lord. There was one day, I just want to close with this. How many times have I said that? One, maybe I got two or three. thank you. There was this day that Catherine Kuhlman was again in the final days of her ministry, and behind her was this choir that she would develop. And young pastors and men and women would be in this choir. It was in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, wasn't it? But anyway, one time when she was preaching, she turned around and pointed to her choir. She said, there will be a day when everybody you pray for will be healed. She pointed to her choir. She said, there will be a day that you will see everyone you pray for healed. There were two men that I know of that was sitting in that choir. One of them was John Arnott. John Arnott is the pastor of Toronto Airport. And indeed, they have seen many, many people healed in his church. The other person was Benny Hinn. Now, they haven't seen that yet. But my expectation that there is a day. Why? Because there were times that Jesus would walk into the village and it says, all were healed. Do it again. Holy Spirit, do it again. If you would, let's stand. Father, as we just stand here, Father, again, we pray for a release of your unction and expectation, Lord, for healing. Lord, as we go through this time of revival and rejuvenation, Lord, that's going on at Chalk Farm, Father, indeed, we just pray for more. A greater release of your anointing, a greater release of your presence, a greater release that would bring glory to your name. In fact, all that would happen, Father, would bring glory to the name of Jesus. That your name would be spoken around all over the city, Lord Jesus. There would be an excitement running. Oh man, it's the first time I've ever felt the presence of God in my, in fact, there felt like there was a stream around my legs today, last night. And oh, you gotta come. People are saying they've never experienced God in this way. They've been healed, Lord. And so, Lord, indeed, we pray that there be a release. And also, Father, just a deposit, Lord. A vision to say, oh, yes, one day, Father, everyone I pray for will be healed. That we would see that day come, Father, that many who are hurting and it's a struggle for them in every day, Father, they would be set free. Father, we indeed pray for a greater release of words of knowledge, Father, greater release of visions and dreams, a greater release, Father, of your anointing to heal the sick, a greater release, Lord Jesus, that indeed we would see your very presence in a greater way. Open heavens, that's it. Yes, Lord, open heavens. We want to touch heaven. Just do it. We just ask that you do it again. Amen. You know, the Lord just reminded me, I just want to share with you, when we were in Brazil at that soccer stadium the night, the woman that got healed, but there was a moment where a man and I, the people were so desperate. There were 4,000 people there in that soccer stadium, and they were so desperate, they were just bringing the sick to me, and then there were tears that were flowing down their face. They were hungry. They would bring the people who were sick right to us. We were standing there ready to get on the bus. And they kept saying, Fernio, come on. We're going to leave you. I said, and there was this moment in time in which every person that he and I prayed for about 20 minutes was healed. Whether it was their back, whether it was their eyes, whether it was deafness in the ear. Every person that came forward for prayer in that little time frame, Jesus did it. And he said, you will do the same things, you will see the same things, and even greater. Yes. And Father, we just want to bless the leadership of this church, Father. We thank you as they would teach and equip and bless. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. As we leave this place, may we know that we've been with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, move. You're welcome. Just quietly, I wonder if you would stack the first three rows of chairs just to the side. Just quietly stack them. And it really captured my heart what Ron was saying about just being so eager to come to the front. Not that, hey, but it's a saying to God, God, I want. God, I want. I want to press through and I want to touch you, Jesus. I'm not going to sit back apathetically and watch, but I'm going to be like that woman that pressed through in the crowd to touch Jesus. 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 Let's worship. Let's worship. Thank you. Jesus.